Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
Yes, smart people talking dumb topics. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
I'm Lauren Brickman. And I'm coming to you sweaty with the world of academia in my very pores.
Yeah, you're having quite the week, I understand.
Because you know what? Somehow Caitlin and I managed to not only get through college, but earn master's degrees and then become professors. It's wild.
Yeah, there's definitely a loophole in this system, but mm-hmm. we've exploited it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about standing today. Lauren, what is standing?
Well, it's being an obsessive fan of something, and we are always pushing the boundaries of what it could be. But mine today is a pretty traditional one. It's one I've had before. It's one I'll have again. And as anyone who's been in my classroom this week could tell you, I'm standing Harry Styles.
Okay. So, Lauren, I do have to explain to you that the idea of the stand of the week is that we kind of rotate through different ones. And you have kind of been stuck on this one guy for a while.
Well, the thing is, I went to another concert. I saw him live.
Oh, no.
Again. And I do have tickets to see him again next week. So, that's on me. I did make a joke. I am teaching a pop culture class this semester, and my students in the class were like, what is this class about? And I was like, an excuse for me to talk about Harry Styles, and they all got excited. And now I'm thinking I might do a whole day of Harry Styles, actually. It was a joke, and now it might not be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just so perfect. He's so happy. I love him. He gives me joy. It's been a pretty rough week, but he gave me joy. Anyways, what are you standing?
Well, I'm on my normal bullshit too. It's just a new reality show that I've binged, and it's called, apparently it's called Selling the OC. Mm. I've been calling it Selling Sunset OC because I'm an old person who doesn't get the titles of things right. So I've just been telling everyone about Selling Sunset OC, which is not what it's called. It's a wonderful new Adam DeVello program where there's like a Heather's Lauren. There's two Alexandras that are the villains.
Ooh.
There's Brittany Snow's husband for some reason. And it's perfect. It takes everything that was a mess about Selling Sunset and puts it in a somehow a more desperate range.
Well, you know, I love desperation. It is my scent. It is my essence. So you have sold me. I will tune in.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know who we always love?
Oh,
besides Harry Styles.
Besides Harry Styles.
Ronnie and Ben from Watch What Crappens, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, hey, thank you for leading us in on Harry Styles and not desperation. Yeah. I was sure our lead-in was desperation.
No, no, I stole that. Bye. Sorry, that's my thing, not yours.
She's very territorial. Hi. Welcome. We are so excited to have you and to talk about Bravo.
Something that, like, you know, Caitlin and I always try to share, like, our credentials, like, why this is, like, a class we can teach. And I think this might be one that we are more intimately connected to than most. And
right.
We share a very similar but very different credit this week. Caitlin.
Right. And yeah. I don't think we can say the name of either person. So
no, I don't think we can.
That's a spicy take. Mm-hmm, DM mm-hmm. us for more info. But I had a very weird run of, what you call them, interactions. One was employment from a Real Housewife who I interacted with in three different distinct ways within 6 weeks. I kept seeing her and she's terrified of me because I kept showing up in these. Well, I don't know that I'm allowed to say. We'll say she's worldwide.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, very cool.
She thought you were stalking her? That's funny.
Yes, and I kept having to explain who I was. And if I see her again, I think she's going to be really troubled. Mm. But her her entourage is quite nice, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, those mm-hmm. that we see on the,
that's
the
good.
Show. I like them.
That's great to yeah. know.
All right, so my credit is similar. There is also a housewife out there. She's living somewhere in the state of New Jersey. And I was actually reminded of this. The other night I went to dinner with a bunch of my colleagues at work, and one of my coworkers several years ago had a dear friend of hers is related to one of the housewives, and they were out and about, and she is also an actor and a teacher. And he mentioned that his sister wanted to take improv classes before they started shooting the new season because she wanted to be the funny one. And so my coworker was like, oh, one of our improv teachers at the school, she'd probably be great. So I, over the course of about 5 or 6 weeks, had numerous phone calls with a Real Housewife who had decided she was going to become the funny one. But ultimately, despite having several very long phone calls, she ultimately decided that she couldn't hire me.
This sounds like Melissa
because
Gorga.
Because the fact that I wanted her to pay for my transportation was too much.
Oh!
Wow. What are you mm-hmm. supposed to do? Improvise a way to get there?
She just kept going, it doesn't seem like there should be an extra charge. Because I was trying to explain to her, I was like, well, I have a studio that you can come meet me at in the city. But if I have to come to you, then I need to factor in time and transit. And she was like, well, that just seems crazy. And yet, so I have dozens of emails with her. We've talked on the phone so many times. But ultimately, I was not an improv coach for a Real Housewife.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm going to guess Melissa Gorga.
Oh my God, sounds wow. like a Gorga to me.
Was it Jennifer Aiden?
No, I feel like she would have caved. I feel like I could have gotten Melissa to cave.
You know what? After you got turned down by this one,
I should have just found out how to call the others.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You should have yeah. just been like, one of them was on your ass. So
I feel like I could have just shown up on set and pretended like she had hired me and she would have gone with it. But anyway, she didn't want to pay for me to get there.
Yeah, that's not a real yes and moment for her to not pay for the transportation.
I don't know if that's a set you want to sit on anyway, sad. You know? what housewives did go to improv? Wasn't there like a housewives thing where they went to do improv somewhere? I think it was in the LA Improv Olympic, maybe, that they went to.
Yes. I think you're right, or Groundlings. And
yes,
Lauren, I can't believe you didn't mention that you did win a very coveted oh. spot at the old UCB. We saw Sonia Morgan's Cabaret-esque, and Lauren entered and won her intern competition.
It's true. It's true. For a night, I was one of Sonia's interns. She
well, maybe
me
that's
stage.
Why no one would pay you. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, it's true. It did happen, though. I did get the real interns did invite me backstage, and I did get an intern-sized bottle of champagne.
What is an intern-sized bottle?
A thimble?
It was like a mini one. It was like a mini one, like a personal-sized one. And Yeah. That was my sense. Payment for the night.
Did you have to pull any like blackberries out of toilets?
No, there were various competitions that we had to compete in order to get the distinction of being one of her interns. And from what I can tell, though, they actually do spend most of their days drinking champagne is the vibe that I got when I was asking what we were going to do tomorrow. And they were like this. And I was like, okay, sign me up. I'll be there.
Oh, yeah. And we also went backstage. I was there, too, and I was not an intern. And you could definitely just go to that townhouse with them easily. There's no security around Sonia Morgan.
Or hot water.
Okay, great. Well, those are our credits. Ben, Ronnie, we know you're the host of Watch What Crappens. You're living the Bravo life.
It's a dream every single day.
So I think we should play a game. What do you think, Lauren?
Oh, absolutely. Let's dive into some games. We've never had such highly credentialed people on the show before.
Probably not. Never again. All right. Our first game is called Be Real Housewives. So we've seen B-list actresses join the ranks of the Real Housewives with mixed success. So we want your Real Housewives and television expertise to tell us who should be plucked from yesteryear and pushed onto our reality TV. So our first set. So Kim Fields was on Atlanta. Went okay. One hit wonder. Okay. So of her other living single castmates, who do you think could make it as a housewife? Kim Coles, Erica Alexandra, or Queen Latifah?
Wow. Well,
I say Kim Coles.
You say Kim Coles? How come?
I feel like Kim Coles. I mean, Erica Alexandra could be good. I feel like this would be, because what has Erica Alexandra done recently? I'm trying to remember. Like, I feel like I haven't seen her very much since Living Single, but I don't know. I feel like Kim Coles, I feel like Kim Coles is like a little funnier. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to say Queen Latifah. I feel like Queen Latifah is a real housewife. I don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
I'm going to say Queen Latifah, actually, because literally everything that Queen Latifah has done, I've been like, why is Queen Latifah doing that? And then I watch it, I'm like, made total sense. She was great, you know, like hosting what did she host? Like the Oscars, or she hosted something that I was like, Queen Latifah, what?
People's Choice.
And then she was great. And then she was in Chicago. I was like, Queen Latifah in Chicago. She's great. So I feel like she always kind of comes through, whereas other people who you would expect to be good aren't, you know, or like Queen Latifah, her jazz album. I'm like, what jazz standards? Queen La, what? It's great. Loved it. Listened to it multiple times. So
she surprises.
Would
you.
Queen Latifah be able to show her whole life, though? Would she be able to show her whole life?
She's out, right?
Catch what I'm saying. Her
I'm
whole
look
life.
It up. Is Queen Latifah out of the closet? She? Is Queen Latifah?
So
I think she maybe is. She's appeared with her girlfriend, but not like fully confirmed.
Oh, she's officially out of the closet.
Like,
oh,
I feel like she's sort of doing the Jodie Foster thing.
Yeah,
she is.
Mm-hmm.
According to LGBTQNation.com, she sure is.
Well, then I say Queen Latifah.
I think, like, officially, I want to say at like a BET Awards, maybe not long ago, maybe only last year, she said something in like an acceptance speech that was like maybe the first like sort of public formal acknowledgement.
Right. I feel like it's like when Jodie Foster came out in that Golden Globe speech.
She said, she mentioned my love and she wished everyone a happy pride. That's what it says here.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I remember that, but it was still like not fully, to me, it was not like a full, it was like the closet door opened quite a bit, but still like,
yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't totally sure. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't want to cross any boundaries. Yeah.
Well, but
I'm still going to say Kim Coles. Yeah. You know what? I stay with Kim Coles.
All right. Kim Coles and Queen Latifah. And we have, you know, Queen Latifah's in Hairspray, the movie, which had Britney Snow. So we're seeing that movie really make a splash in reality.
Oh my God.
Also, her name is Dana, which I think she should go by Dana on Housewives.
Oh, that's a cute name, that. Dana. I like that name, Dana. I've never known a shitty Dana.
Dana's do well.
No, could never. Okay. Lisa Rinna could be getting the boot from Beverly Hills. We don't know. So what other Melrose Place resident could grab the diamond? Heather Locklear, Courtney Thorne Smith, or Daphne Zuniga?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the redhead's name.
I'll tell you.
Marcia Cross. Hello, Marcia Cross.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
100. Yeah. You can order off menu, of course. Yeah,
I think Daphne could do it. She could be the, like the boring one. That you're like, what's Daphne up to today? And she's like, I drove around the block, you know?
Beverly Hills could use some of that. It could use someone just being like, my kid's in soccer and it stresses me out. Like,
yeah. What do you think, Ben?
I feel like Daphne Zuniga's up. I feel like I gravitate towards Daphne Zuniga. Zuniga? Uh-huh. Zuniga? I can't remember even how to say her name. I feel like she'd offer something crazy, But I also wonder, like, she's a Scientologist, right? I wonder if she would, like, if there would be...
Oh, didn't know.
I think she is, or I'm just spreading a vicious rumor about her right now by accident.
Well, they're not, listen, get a new religion, because they're not doing a lot for you, Daphne. Okay, the whole reason they joined Scientology is to get a damn career. What are they doing for you? Run, Daphne!
I don't know if Bravo wants that. I don't know if Bravo wants that vibe. You know, it could be interesting.
Oh my gosh. All right. I love it.
I love it so much.
Although, and I also feel like she would have some weird drug problem. Like, I love watching these shows to see who has a secret drug problem. Like, I'm always like, Coke, that's Coke. They're doing Coke. And I think she would be fun because I feel like she's a weirdo and I'd always be trying to, I'd be trying to, like, read her pupils. You know what I mean?
You know, I think, you know who I'd want from Melrose Place? I would want Vanessa Williams just to see the rest of the cast get so excited because they think Vanessa L. Williams is joining. And then it's just Vanessa Williams. And like, they're just like, oh my God, it's Vanessa Williams. And the whole like season is just them like always just getting disappointed when they meet up to shoot. They're like, oh, I forgot. Oh my God. It's the other Vanessa Williams.
A SAG rule taking down Beverly Hills would be amazing. Okay, this one I'm calling the Richard Sisters Legacy Scholarship. Which 80s, 90s kid star should be on Housewives? Melissa Joan Hart, Soleil Moon Frye, or Keisha Knight Pulliam? All have three names.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, it could see that's an interesting one because I think you could do, because Keisha has lived in Atlanta at least some, because she was married to Ed Hartwell after Lisa Wu Hartwell was.
Right. There was that drama, but she was on Celebrity Big Brother and she kind of sucked. Okay. So I'm actually going to eliminate her. I don't feel like she's willing to play the reality game. So I am going to say Melissa Joan Hart. Yeah. I feel like Soleil Moon Frye is, she pops up every now and then. And I also am not terribly interested in her. I feel like Melissa Joan Hart will have she might have sort of like a Kim Richards kind of vibe to her now. I think she's most likely to have that. Ooh. So I say her.
Love it. Wow.
I would say Soleil because she was always so annoying that, you know, you need that kind of energy. Like, I really need to kind of semi hate you if you're on. Like, I need to love you, but also, like, I want to watch you, but also I want you to just shut up. You know,
totally.
And I feel like that's a Moon Frye trademark because I don't think I've even seen her since back in the day. And I still remember how effing annoying she was. But also I'm like, oh, my God, Punky, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that that's the one underrated part of Kim Fields, I felt, was that Kim Fields is so loved by normal people that when they would see her, it clearly bothered the other Atlanta housewives because you can never eclipse being Tootie, you know, like that love that viewers have for her. And I feel like that could really get under the skin of like a Beverly Hills housewife if people saw, you know, Sabrina or Punky. Like it's just a different kind of fame.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, there's the girl with the berets.
Are we going to just like not consider Vicky from Small Wonder? Is she like, can she be part of the conversation?
Always considering Vicky from Small Wonder. We are never not doing that. Okay, thank you. I was just about to ask, those were my ideas. Are there any 80s and 90s stars I forgot that should be on Housewives? First and foremost, Vicky.
Oh my gosh.
Almost all of them.
I would love to see like kind of a old movie star type thing for LA. You know, I think if they recast the Beverly Hills, they should just go for an old star wives like Goldie Hawn. You know, people like that who back then, Melanie Griffith, because I think they're friends in real life, right? That would be amazing. Like, what's she doing? I'd like to see that, you know? Mimi Rogers, she's on Gosh.
Wow.
You know, just those Mimi people. Rogers. Yeah, like, wow. I would like to see all of them kind of come together and do something.
Mimi Rogers, also a Scientologist. And I think the one that is rumored to have gotten Tom Cruise into Scientology because they were married, which is the funniest thing. I love a forgotten marriage like Mimi Rogers and Tom Cruise. Like, I mean, I would cast her just for that.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, it's got to piss her off to get Tom Cruise into Scientology, and he's still in Top Gun movies, and she's on Bosch. You know that she's just like, screw him. I gave him this.
I know, and she's still in with the Xenu. So she's a true believer. Mm-hmm. So good for her, I guess.
Maybe like Annabelle Shioria or whatever, or like Valeria Galino.
Oh, man.
Nice pulse.
Yeah.
Are you flirting with me, man? What's going on over there?
I'm pulling out the deep cuts, guys.
Well, we're going to get Mimi Rogers' agent on the horn real quick. And while we do, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, 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 wow. That took some twists and turns.
Yeah. But Mimi.
Yeah, I was so excited when I heard she was coming, and then I got dark fast.
Uh-huh, yeah. Her agent's wow. Quite a character.
I know. He kept screaming for carrot juice. That part was really confusing.
Like, no, okay. That added up to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like the first game was so fun. I feel like we got to play a second game.
I think so. Lauren, do you want to take us in?
I would love to.
Always.
You know, as big fans of Bravo, there's a lot of Bravo we love, but there is one Bravo property in particular that feels like Caitlin and I we just love it so much, and it's Below Deck. And there's a game that we actually play in our everyday life just hanging out, and it's called Below Deck Fantasy Charter. So congratulations, Ronnie and Ben. You can afford to charter a yacht, and unfortunately, you have the brain worm that possesses you to want to be on Below Deck, just like we do. But luckily, you get to choose five celebrities. That's right, five celebrities each to take on your Below Deck Fantasy Charter. So Ronnie, Ben, you got the money. You got the charter.
You're the primary.
You're the primary. Who are you taking along with? This is a game that truly Caitlin and I play very often. I'm constantly asking her if I still make it on the charter to know where we stand in our friendship.
Are Ronnie and I on together and we're choosing who's coming with us, or do we each have our own
you
yacht?
Can decide. You can have it either it's each of you are bringing five people, or like, do you need a little alone time and you're each bringing people? Whatever feels right to you.
I would personally like to be on a yacht with Ronnie.
Great.
So, aww.
I would like to share this charter with you, Ronnie.
Let's share. Because in that way, we can cast our people based on how they would like each other.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you figure out, you go first, okay. Ronnie.
The ghost of Nell Carter. I want Nell Carter. I want Nell Carter.
That's true. We didn't put any rules. We did not say anything to be living.
I want to see how she went from, like, give me a break to when I saw her in Annie on Broadway. Like, what happened? Like, what was going on? Like, I don't know. I feel like I have so many questions and I really loved her. So I say her. And she'd be nice. Great. And maybe she could sing sometimes.
I'm going to add Linda Fiorentino. I'd like her just to be sitting. She doesn't really have to participate in all. Whenever like someone suggests, you guys want to do some water sport? We have some toys. You want to do the slide? Like Captain Sadie's like, so we got slides. We got a banana in the water. We got some sea bobs. And she'll just be sitting there in all black smoking a cigarette. Be like, do I look like I fucking want to go in the water right now? She just blows smoke into Sandy's face and then turns away. That's just what I want. I just want her to be like seductive to no one in particular off in the corner the entire time.
So Linda Fiorentino, I looked up just to see like what's up with her. And it says Linda Fiorentino is a former actress.
The shade.
Former.
Google shade.
What the hell? And this is her wiki. So, I mean, I guess that she would put that, but I've never seen anybody say former act. Like, you're always an actor. You're born an actor. You die an actor. You're not like maybe former working actor, but come on. You can't just take the actor off, Linda. Jesus, just take my heart.
Wow. Well.
Her final screen role to date was a supporting character in Once More with Feeling, released direct to video in 2009. I'm sorry, Linda Fiorentino does not go out on a note of Once More with Feeling. That is not, I reject it. Just do one more role. That's not bad.
She has to. She has to.
Lots riding on this below deck appearance to reinvigorate her career.
Right. Okay. Tyne Bailey. Yes. Because I know Tyne Bailey will just be a horror show, and I would love to see her interact with Linda and Nell.
Mm-hmm. Mm. A lot of Mama Rose energy on this boat. It's dangerous.
There is.
A lot of gay icons. Yeah. A lot of gay icons coming through.
And I just want her to blame everything on Sharon. Sharon Glass. Like, I want to get Tyne Bailey drunk and be like, so, yeah, you know what I've always heard is that Sharon Glass was a real bee, and just see her go to town on her. Would love that.
Yeah. To get the real scoop, finally, after all these years, the real scoop. I feel like I want, like, a really hot guy, but I can't think of, like, a really hot guy, like, off the top of my head, which is crazy. I feel like normally I can access them, but, like, given, like, a whole world of options, like, my brain just sort of closes up. So maybe I'll just go back to my regular pool of, like, my standard pool of like, gay icons, and I'll just say Kathy Moriarty, you know?
Wow.
Kathy Moriarty, yes.
Wow.
She's sort of like it's a little bit of an overlap with Linda Fiorentino, truthful. Like, they kind of hit the same note. Gravel voice fixes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never said I'd be that creative.
You know how sometimes they make the crew do a talent show? What if these were the judges of a crew talent show?
they would not be happy.
So we have one more to join the ghost of Nell Carter, Linda Fiorentino, Tyne Bailey, and Kathy Moriarty. Wow. With you two. No one's on a paddleboard yet. No one.
With us.
I know no water toys were harmed in the making of this.
Captain Sandy can have them set up all she wants. Kathy Moriarty is not out there.
Tyne Bailey's just going to be like, the fucking banana again? What's up with the banana? Get it inside. She's going to be furious.
I was going to say that maybe our last person is someone that, like, we can all talk about.
Jared Leto. Okay, I want Jared Leto because I feel like he'd be so out of place And I just want to see their reactions to Jared Leto and call him out on everything.
He's a hot guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's hot, but he's, like, one of those people who's, like, really hot genetically, but, like, he's just, his personality kind of rottens it up. You know, rots it,
I guess would be the proper.
So, yeah, I would just love to see Tyne, Nell, Kathy. Linda ain't going to care. She'll be like, who? What do you do? What do you
Linda's
do?
Not, Linda's going to try to sleep with
him. Yeah, Linda's going to be like, I'm a former actor. Linda, what do you do?
We're actually going to We're going to get mad at Linda because she won't pile on with the rest of us. Yeah.
The ghost of Nell Carter.
She's going to be friends with him.
I feel like Tyne Daly would be the one trying to trick him into eating like chicken, or she'd be like, put bacon bits in the breakfast. Let's see if he notices. You
know? Oh my God. I hope Tyne Daly is also like constantly trying to FaceTime her brother, but like can't quite figure it out. That's like an image I can't get out of my head.
Cause we'd be like, have all these questions. We would basically, we'd want that because we'd have all these questions about Crystal Bernard to ask him from Wings. You know, to be like, okay, when you were working on Wings, what was Crystal Bernard like? Did she always have that hair? Or did someone tell her to have that hair? What was Lloyd like?
That is true. Tyne Daly is a clutch pick because then you have the gateway to Tim and then so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyne Daly knows
that just opens up a whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, she's tall. Oh, yeah.
I'm just seeing you guys like at that tip meeting and Nell Carter's floating next to you. It's like a Scooby-Doo lineup.
Yeah, who's making the speech?
I guess you guys.
Who's making the final speech to Captain Sandy?
Oh my God.
Oh, me.
Oh, you're going to do it to Ronnie?
Yes, I'm going to be like, Tyne, you were worse than I imagined. Kathy, smoke a cigarette. You give everybody like their... I'd be saying goodbye to our own guest.
To your own guest, and you're your friends with, and you have to walk down the boardwalk together.
You're all former actors.
I feel
now.
Like Linda Fiorentino would be a good option. I feel like Linda would like take out the cash and then like walk down in front of every cast member and like put the cash under their nose and be like, "You want this, don't you? You worked hard for this, didn't you?" Well, I'll tell you how much. And then she starts like counting it like really dramatically, you know, and then she just like drops it at Captain Sandy's feet and just walks
off. Nell Carter could do it if it was below deck sailing, because I can imagine like Captain Glenn going to beep the horn at them. You know how he always does that? Yeah. He's like, hold on, guys, hold on. And then he beeps the horn and now he would just go beep. And Nell Carter would just go beep. And he'd go beep.
Oh, my God.
Just like match the tone every time.
Oh, Gary with this crew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's iconic. I love it. I'm so mad that I can't watch this episode. Like, I want to be able to watch it so badly.
We're going to have to write fan fiction. Yes,
that is a level of illness that I can't believe it's taken us this long to get to, is below deck fan fiction. Like, what have we been doing? Have we been asleep behind the wheel this whole time? This whole time?
Yeah. Clearly.
Well,
Below Deck is like watching a really weird improv class. So you guys are both improvisers, right?
Yes.
So you know how, I mean, I know that you guys are the New York UCB and I went to the LA one, but like the actors that they make take the improv class, that they're like, okay, gorgeous people, you have to go take an improv class if you want to book a commercial. And then they go in and then they're like, okay, you guys, you're a husband and wife of 30 years. And all they do is like, you didn't lock the door. You know, like they fight, whatever. I feel like Below Deck is like that. It's like Pretty People improv, you know?
Oh,
like,
my
how
God.
Do you feel about mopping? And they're like, but my dad. Like, what?
You're right. The Below Deck crew does not understand game in the least.
The harshest criticism ever leveled at the crew of Below Deck.
Mm-mm, they don't get game. They didn't pass 201. Come on.
They didn't pass 201. Achilles Demetaleki said, no!
No!
Zip, zap. I left my daughter on the other side of the world in the midst of every game. No. No.
No.
It's not even one syllable.
Oh, well, now I really want to see Kathy Moriarty playing Zip Zap Zop on Below Deck.
God, Zip Zap! Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going outside. It's bullshit. I'm like, who got me into this?
But I really appreciate that you guys know who Kathy Moriarty and Linda Fiorentino are, because I've had a few too many times recently where I've drop those names into games of celebrity and people are like, who is this person? Why is it not Beyonce?
Wow.
Like, you don't know Lilith. You're
yeah, but right now, are, she's yeah. done but acting.
Those are old lady references even when we were kids, you know?
No, this is, you're in your safe space. You're
absolutely.
I felt like I was being sung a lullaby. It felt so soothing to hear those names dropping from your lips.
Yeah, we're not going to go for the obvious, the low-hanging fruit.
No, clearly not. Well, that was a fantasy charter. And I mean, now it's my fantasy charter. I mean, this game is probably done now because I think that's the iconic Mount Rushmore of Below Deck charters. Well, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to present a little thesis to you. Mm-hmm. This is about the Housewives' number one passion, which is, of course, writing and reading. And they are big time authors of many books. So these are, in my opinion, the best Real Housewives book titles and the ones that got away.
Mm-hmm.
So they love a pun, as we know, probably from their tagline, life, I don't know, or that same agent they have just makes them all do it. So here's a bunch. These are not the best ones, in my opinion. These are kind of also-rans. We have Daniel Staub, The Naked Truth. Like, kind of. I mean, I get it. Tinsley Mortimer's Southern Charm. I think that's really bad because, I know she's from the South originally, but we know her from Roni.
Mm-hmm.
Caviar Dreams, Tuna Fish Budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Hate that.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
I mean, I get it. I know it's her thing. I love the Marge. I know that's her thing. Like, listen, I have caveat dreams, but a tuna fish budget. Like, I think that's it was a funny line, but then building a brand off it. I don't know, the caviar and tuna thing.
People don't like tuna. Like, there are people who just hate tuna fish. Mm-hmm. It's like putting cilantro in your title. You know, there's people who are predestined to or pre-exposed. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To hate that name.
It's like you're begging for haters. You're saying, somebody come hate me.
Yeah. Right. Believe me, that's its whole can of worms with the whole lime stuff. Kyle Richards' Life is Not a Reality Show is, it's not even first thought. It's like zero thought.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No thought.
It's like under that.
Yeah, very generic.
It's like she has to remind you that she's popular enough to be on a reality show in her book title. Like, we know, Kyle, shut up.
Shut
Kyle,
up.
Yeah. Right. Also, I have to say, Danielle Staub's another shut up for me because hers is called The Naked Truth. But if you say that she was a stripper named Beverly, she loses her damn mind.
Yeah.
So why is that in your book title? It's like, you just us to fight with you, Danielle. True.
Never Make the Same Mistake Twice by Nene. That one makes no sense.
Mean, yeah.
Especially because she did. I mean,
it constantly does in a number of personal and professional ways.
She has three mistakes that she just doesn't repeat.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she's not living it. So here's some that I find enjoyable. Honorable mention to Vicky, just because I always try to give the OG honorable mention. And this cover is so sad. It's just her and this certain slice of orange was represented Orange County back when that movie Orange County came out. Like, that's all we knew. I do think they're cute.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put this cover on Instagram for the listeners. It's Vicky with a Lenovo laptop and then also with a martini, which are her two sides.
And she's also got she's got a weird space between the L and the sun. And her name—it's just weird.
Ginville son, and is she more than a housewife? I mean, now
it's very Bush era.
Well, she is. There you go. This is first thought, but in a way that I'm okay, you have to recognize finger painting before you can, see the Sistine Chapel. This is my second honorable mention, which drives me insane.
Oh my god, this one is nuts.
Because drinking and tweeting, is that like? She seems to think that's idiomatic in some way, that it's just not. Like, it doesn't really, it's just two words. And then what drives me absolutely nuts is
why are the D and the T a different color?
What does that mean? Like, those aren't her initials. It's not even G and T, which is a drink. Like, I'm just.
DT? What does that mean? The DTs, aren't those the alcohol shakes?
I mean, if she's working on that level,
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make. I do have to point out though that Vicky, just because it's just hit me. In Vicky's cover, she's like, not just a housewife, but then it shows her two different pictures. One is like business Vicky and one is like partying Vicky. And both Vickys are wearing the same heels. And I don't know why that just came to me, but that's hilarious.
It was a 45 minute photo shoot. And in the sense of like more than a real housewife, like she's dying to not be more than that. It's so.
Yeah. I wanted to defend Brandy.
Great.
I'm loath to say it. But the full title was not Drinking and Tweeting. The full title was Drinking and Tweeting and Other Brandy Blunders. Mm-hmm. So it actually was a list. It was a partial list of the things that she does wrong.
I see. Yes.
It makes more sense that way.
You know what? It's a New York Times bestseller.
And well, I mean, what isn't seriously at this point? But DP, touche, ma'am. But yes, DT is delirium tremens, a symptom of alcohol withdrawal. So I'm going with that. I'm going to stick with that for DT and other Brandy blunders.
Brandy, people are going to bat for you. You are beloved. This is Bethany Frankel's novel, which I just want to point out the way this scans is so funny because these things are like, the way a buyer would approach this at a bookstore, it's in order of what's important, like New York Times bestseller, her name, what it is at all, which is a novel, and then it's vaguely related to Skinny Girl, the products.
Vaguely.
She is such a mind. It feels like she did some sort of like market testing of like what words will move this puppy.
You know, and I'm naked too. And I'm skinny. Okay. Yeah, let me see. What does it say? The pace moves as fast as the Hollywood rumor. And the voice is all Bethany by Associated Press.
Mm-hmm. And it's New York and LA are behind her. And I don't know. She's not associated with LA. Not at all.
But what is funny is that they're only showing part of the Hollywood sign. So the letters they've blocked out, it says hollow. Which I think is perfect for a Bethany.
That's so true.
You know what? Wow. These might all be deeper than I realized.
They are. You got to look at the signs. These are housewife shows.
All right. Oh my God.
Number five, which is Life on the Ramona Coaster. Why? Because it celebrates her legacy of stealing from Bethany. Because Bethany did think of Ramona Coaster, famously. The apples, that represents Big Apples. It's rare. It's tough. This is what I really like. If you look close, those apples have stickers on them.
Oh my god! They're from the grocery store.
Wow!
Stunning! Oh my gosh!
Just green and
that could have been an artistic choice.
She's got green and red apples in the bowl, but she's holding a golden one. She's like, "I'm better than these." You know what? I'm better than those apples. Sorry.
You said it.
Wait, I have to tell you this one thing.
Yes.
So I was doing this comedy show and I was like, okay, I'll just do like an interpretive reading from a housewife's book. And they're like, okay. Sure. So I brought Ramona Coaster. Okay. So I'm up there and I'm the opener and I open the book and I just started reading. Of course, I'm an idiot and didn't do any kind of research. Mm-hmm. Oh my, it's the most depressing thing. It's like my father's an alcoholic and my brother's an alcoholic and this person died and that person died. And that person hated me and this person abused me. And I was like, oh my God, that book will haunt me forever. That was one of the most mortifying times I ever spent on stage doing anything. So thanks, Ramona Coaster.
Oh my God, Ramona. Ruining comedy shows with her bad life. All right, well, this is Class of the Countess. One of the best books. I mean, this was before her dance and cabaret career when she was more literary.
Before she found her true calling and her true artistry.
Yeah, but I mean, Class of the Countess, it's right there for her. You know, she got it. Mm-hmm, that's it. Mm-hmm. My Word by Gisele Bryant. I like this one. So this one grew on me. My Word means at least three things, so points.
The novel.
Yeah. It's a novelization of her life, I guess. Yes. Jamal. I'm not saying the book is good. I just like the title and the cover.
Girl, I mean, the whole like putting a rosary in between your teeth as a sexy picture. Wow. And then one eye is crying. What the hell is this book?
It's tough, too, because I do not believe evangelical Christians use rosaries. So
They do not. They do not.
She's using a Catholic friend's rosary for a sexy, sad photo.
Yeah.
But
But sexy sad is my favorite combination, so I do like that part.
Well, yeah, good, because this is sexy sad and Catholic.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, very Madonna. She's very influenced. All right. My second is Leggy Blonde. I mean,
that's something right there.
She called it Leggy Blonde. And I put this here because I hate Carol. And hopefully Carol will hear about this and be mad.
Remains of the day.
This, if I had no context for who this woman was or what was happening, this just screams like I survived something and that's how I rediscovered my love for Christ. Like, that is what this cover is giving me. You know what I mean? Like, one of those, like, redemption stories that they try to sell us in the movies at, like, Easter time.
It is like that.
What's that one, the Chrissy Metz movie?
Yes, I don't remember the name of it. I did go see it on Easter Sunday in the East Village, very drunk, and did not realize that it would be full of people seeing it earnestly. But I know that is exactly the genre.
Hey, that's how I felt with those Kirk Cameron movies.
I know. That's the movie about like the kid. Like, there's a incident with a frozen Lake.
Yes.
Because I was on a plane. And someone was watching it. So then I was like watching their TV. I couldn't stop looking at their TV. And like Chrissy Metz, there was a lot of time of Chrissy Metz like just like praying. And then people being like, will this kid survive being on? I was like, why was he on the ice in the first place? I was like angry at the movie, even though I didn't know what was going on. I could see it. And I was just like, I thought I was the only one who would ever even notice that movie. So I'm really glad to hear that you saw it too, even though I didn't really see it.
Me and two of my best friends since middle school, one Easter Sunday, we were like, let's go to Bottomless Brunch. Let's get so drunk. And then let's go see a Christian movie because we're good Oklahomans. We had no idea that like an entire congregation would go to Sunday morning mass and then go see this movie afterwards. We were on very different levels.
Were they like biting on rosaries?
They had like their like Sunday best on. Like there were all these women with giant hats and looking beautiful. And
in the East Village? Wow.
It was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had. Shout out to former guest of the show, Ben Farha. He was part of the trio that went that day.
Shout out to Ben Farha. Well, my number one, this is a gal I always have a soft spot for. It's Teresa. It's turning the tables from housewife to inmate and back again. Mm. I assume a new book is coming out soon to tell us about her love story. Yeah. Because you can see in the back, even Joe Giudice is still in the photo, which is...
Mm. Oh, yeah. This was a while ago. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Awkward. Very awkward.
Oh no, because this is from housewife to inmate.
It was after that. And isn't it her ghostwriter? Remember they went on that like cruise ship or something that was owned by the ghostwriter?
Casey Baker.
So I guess that's Casey Baker. Yeah. So, and this person is in their lives because it was Marge's too. So we might need to see a friend of appearance by Casey Baker. And
you know why, don't you?
No.
Because no one in Jersey will pay for the New York authors to get to Jersey. Okay. No.
We're learning.
You're not wrong.
This title has always bothered me because turning tables is a very waiter phrase. It's like, turn them and burn them. That's when you're trying to get the new tables in there and you turn the table. Mm-hmm. Also, Teresa never flipped that damn table. And it makes me crazy that she gets credit for flipping a table. She lifted the table she just dropped it. I mean,
she rocked
clanking the table, you know. I mean, I guess table clanker isn't going to get you, you know. A book deal. But come on, I need some
never
honesty.
Whatever she did do, she did not turn it.
She definitely didn't turn it.
No matter what.
It.
Whether she rocked it,
could you imagine Teresa as your waiter?
No turning. Oh,
no.
All right, so what do you want?
And your mom is the one who's like, aren't you going to write any of this down?
No, I don't got to do that. I got memories.
And brings you the wrong shit. Joe told me
you wanted this one.
Well, they had a pizza place for 1.5 days.
1.5.
Yeah, Gorga pasta, pizza and pasta.
Well, thank you guys for going on this journey with me. I will update that PowerPoint always as the new Housewives books come out, the rankings change.
Who do you think the next one will come from? Like, do we not ones that are rumored or announced, but like someone who hasn't told us that they're doing it? Like, who's secretly trying to get through their pages?
Jen Shaw. will probably do something.
Because Heather is having a book this season.
Oh, it was one of the things that jumped out to me during that trip. Oh, Dorit would be a good one.
Dorit, wait, Heather has a book? Oh, right. Heather, a bad Mormon. Yeah.
Bad Mormon. I have to say, I'm Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is my favorite of the franchises, and that trailer was great, and I will read Bad Mormon cover to cover.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Bad Mormon.
Is there a Karen Huger book coming down the pike?
I haven't heard anything.
Oh.
She's had one before,
hasn't she?
Or Ashley.
Did Karen have one already? I missed it. How did I miss it?
I don't know.
You know what would be good is if one of the kids would write one that's more of a tell-all of being a Real Housewife kid.
But can we just not allow Allie Zarin to do it? I can't. Like, Allie, stop. Like, every time I feel like I turn on the internet, Allie, like, I have a sperm donor for a dad, and I'm dancing on TikTok. I'm like, Allie, stop. We all become our mothers, but at some point, I've become my mother. At some point, I have to say, okay, stop, Rhonda. Like, I tell myself, stop, stop.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not sure what child I'd trust to tell us the story, but
I don't know. I don't trust any of them.
Cairo.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, I'm looking for Karen Huger book because I thought she wrote one, but I don't think so. But I did find one called Karen Huger Wig Hold On Personal Journal, Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay. I'm listening.
Are you guys forgetting our seminal child author? We've got two child authors, and they're both from the same county in America. We have Shannon, the Doors' daughter, who is working on a book about
of course, divorce. How can I forget?
And we also have published author Heather DuBrow's daughter, a self-published author. So we already know who we're going to turn to for all the tell-alls.
Who does Orange County, the literary?
Actually, Shan Bador should have a book.
Absolutely. And I would listen to that audiobook. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She would have a breakdown, chapter one.
I think Shannon's would be called When Life Gives You Lemons. Or if she wants to be cute, she'd be like When Life Gives You Oranges or something like that.
Yeah.
the whole book will be like, the first day of my life was a sad one. I entered this world crying, and I've been crying ever since.
What a woman. Well, thank you guys for going on the journey.
That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we need to take a quick break. We're going to DM Shannon Bador. Let us know some ideas we have for her.
We'll be right back. Wow, she responded really quickly.
Yeah, that was creepy.
It was like she was sitting by her phone and knew that someone was going to ask her. That was weird.
Yeah, I saw Shannon typing so quickly.
So quickly. I'm unwell. But you know what I'm excited about?
Yes, our final game.
We have one final game because Caitlin was listening to a recent episode of your podcast and y'all said something that spoke so directly to the core of who you are. We are. And we're so excited to examine this with you. Caitlin, what was it that you were like, oh my God, you have to listen to this. We have to talk about this.
You guys said that no one talks about the NBC drama Sisters anymore. And it's truly all we talk about.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
wait. Stop everything. I forgot to even tell this to Ronnie. I woke up this morning and for some reason, unless it's a fake account, Julianne Phillips had liked a random tweet that I was mentioned in this morning.
Really? And it wasn't about Sisters?
Julianne, aka Frankie.
Yeah.
No, it was about the terrible water shortage that's happening in Jackson, Mississippi. Someone tweeted about it and they added me, and then somehow Julianne Phillips found it and liked it. And I was like, is this the Julianne Phillips?
Her
bio said recovering actress, which is full circle to Linda Fiorentino.
Wow.
Now, assuming this is the real Julianne Phillips, there was no blue check, but I don't know if Julianne Phillips gets a blue check these days. And her name was like, And it was like Julianne Phillips and then a series of numbers. So I was like, it's either Julianne Phillips or it's some very gay bot that is impersonating her. And I will take either option.
We love it.
Well, I'm more interested in the bot in a way.
In a way, we are deeply obsessed. We actually, during the height of the pandemic, we were doing live stream shows, and we actually did an entire evening dedicated to Sisters because we too felt like the collective conscious was forgetting, and we needed to remind them. So we're right there with you. We love them. We praise them. The greatest moment of my life was when I did write about Sisters, but Celia Ward did like it. And then I found out later it's because there is a small group of Sisters fans who work very hard to make sure that those ladies know whenever they're being talked about on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have a Facebook group where they're really fighting to get Sisters on streaming. Yeah. And some of them probably still listen to the show. Shout out to you guys and the work that you do.
The work. They are doing the work. And I'm so excited about them. And I love them so much.
You know, it's crazy that it's not on streaming.
It is crazy.
It really is. I mean, if you look at who's from there, Celia Ward, holler. Mm-hmm. Celia Ward is still around. She's still holler. Great. You've mm-hmm. got Swoozy Kurtz. I mean, mm-hmm. has there ever been a better Swoozy?
No.
Ever?
No.
Patricia... Patricia Callumbur. I wouldn't remember, mm-hmm. but of course, Georgia, I remember. And I've seen this actress in a zillion things. Yeah. And the only one that doesn't have a modern, like IMDb pick is Julianne Phillips.
Yeah.
Frankie. So the rest of them are still around. They're still kicking and, ass. Get
and the
here.
New sister.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Charlie.
And Charlie. And don't forget the careers that were launched by this show, which include Ashley mm-hmm. Judd, Paul Rudd, George Clooney.
Ever heard of him?
Unfortunately, Kat never really went anywhere, and neither did Trevor or Travis. But, you know, I think that Paul Rudd, Ashley Judd, George Clooney, I feel like there was one other really big name that was on the show, and I'm blanking on it.
Well, unfortunately, the disgraced father from Seventh Heaven was also on the show. But
oh my God, that canceled. Guy really... Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, we do have to forget that he existed.
Yeah, George Clooney, hideously ugly. God, this
so,
guy.
So disgusting. What a monster.
Well, you know what was sad was the guy, that really hot guy, that Celia Ward, like the British billionaire or millionaire mm-hmm. that her character fell in love with is Simon or something. Like, I loved him, mm-hmm. but I guess he died in like a motorcycle accident between seasons, right? Oh, and that's why
I don't know if I ever mm-hmm. really realized that. That's crazy.
Nora Dunn?
There's a truth bomb.
Wow.
Just had to say Nora Dunn. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Periodically, we just say Nora Dunn.
Nora Dunn, that's right.
Yeah. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to say the name.
She was like a judge or something.
All right. So we feel like you guys are ready to play Real Sisters of Winnetka. Congratulations. You're home from Below Deck with Ty Daly and the Ghost of Mel Carter. And you are now going to be the EPs of a reboot of Sisters. And since Sisters is an NBC Universal property, you know they're insisting that you cast Real Housewives. So you have to cast from a different franchise each of our four major sisters. So who is going to be Alex, as played by Swoozy Kurtz in the original, the eldest sister, wealthy and somewhat superficial, but protective and close to her sisters?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Is it too soon to pull out a Dorinda?
Well, actually, no. I was going to say Kyle, but I think I feel like it's Heather DeBrow, maybe.
Wow.
I wouldn't cast Heather in anything. I want to be like the rest of Hollywood and just not cast Heather. Can we do that?
I like that.
Like, someone who is, like, wealthy. I mean, it could be Candy. Candy Burris. Mm. It's like a... wealthy and protective, maybe.
I like keeping a Dorinda. I want to bring like a Georgia, loonier energy.
But I feel
energy.
Like she was also like
I'm going to give it to Dorinda. I want like a loonier energy. Because you know, Swoozy has that kind of bobbliness about.
You know what? I give it to Meredith Marks.
Meredith Marks? Wow.
I'm actually going to say Meredith Marks is where I'm going to finally land.
Okay.
Sorry, Ryan, to step on you.
Wow.
So Ben has Meredith Marks, Ronnie has Dorinda. These are only two iconic casts setting up. So who are we going to have for Teddy, as originally played by Celia Ward, the free-spirited second sister, recovering alcoholic, who moved back to Winnetka at the beginning of the series?
Oh my gosh.
Mom the cat.
The Carol.
Is that Kim Richards? Carol. 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 I co-sign
Carol Radswell.
Oh my God.
Wear jeans and sit on countertops. What was that protest where all the people were protesting rich people? Remember? It was like...
The 99%. Yeah. It was like
Occupy.
Occupy. When Carol went to Occupy, she's like, "I'm young and hip. Yeah, down with the rich people."
She's fully worth $50 million.
I know.
Great, Georgie, as portrayed by Patricia Callenber, the third and most level-headed, responsible sister, stay-at-home mom, and she also gave birth to Frankie and Mitch's son. Never forget.
So like the plain family person.
She's kind of the anchor.
It's probably like one of those. Yeah, but like the boring anchor when it's like when it's their scene, you're always like, oh, I have to fast forward over this. I don't really actually, you know who I would I'm gonna retract the boring part. I might give that one to Dolores.
Interesting.
How dare. I'm going to go ahead and give it to season one, Teddy.
Wow.
Because I fast forwarded through her scenes a lot.
Wow.
And she always like has mommy, you know, talks and like mommy blogs or whatever. So I'll go with her.
Wow. Teddy Mellencamp making an appearance.
Is there space for it to be like an Alexia Echeverria, maybe?
Whoa.
Wow.
She's a little too literally for Georgia.
I think that's a little kookier. But... I'm not interested.
You're the EPs, you know?
It does make a better show.
Stephanie Holman.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie Holman.
Could be Stephanie from Dallas. Sure.
Stephanie Holman, yeah, could do it.
Yeah. Wow.
Congrats, Stephanie. Wow. And finally, Frankie, as played by tweet-liker Julianne Phillips, youngest sister Frankie, was a workaholic businesswoman, and she married Teddy's ex-husband, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had infertility.
Right.
Oh my gosh, who could do this one, Ben?
Bethany? But I remember Frankie was sort of dull.
We just added a lot of domineering in there.
Yeah, I added a lot more personality than Frankie ever had.
Yeah, let's give this one to a young Gumbelson.
A young Vicky.
Let's give this to Gumbel Young.
Oh my god. This is the most frightening cast of all time.
Never put us in charge of casting.
Listen, you gotta get people reeled in, okay? I mean, Meredith Marks mixed with Dorinda Medley, starring alongside Stephanie Holman.
Carol.
Carol. And a young version of Vicky. I mean, who wouldn't watch that?
Sign me up. Sign me the fuck up.
In fairness, Vicky is from the Chicago suburbs, so this is... This, there we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know that she always wore the same shoes for work and for play. Just like changed up her office attire.
I love it so much. I love it so much.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, we've got to meet with NBC Universal.
This is perfect though, because the Real Housewives fancy vacation. What do we call it? The trip spinoff. Yeah.
Girls trip.
That's on Peacock. That's NBC. Like, I feel like this is just like it's writing itself. Like it's gonna happen.
Synergy. Peacock for sure.
Yeah. Oh, this is definitely a Peacock reboot of Sisters.
This is some synergy for sure. Mm-hmm, guys. Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it.
Ultimate Girls Trip Sisters.
I feel it.
We trick the fans into watching a scripted program. It's a reboot. Sisters.
Ultimate Sisters Trip. I'm in.
I'm so into it.
I'm so into it. It's a mashup of so many of my favorite things.
Oh, what a wonderful company, NBC Universal. Thank you for existing. Our corporate overlords.
They've done so much for us. You know, they really have. Well, speaking of doing so much for us, this has been so much fun for us. But before we wrap up, is there anything that we didn't cover that you feel like you got to get off your chest today, that you came in today being like, you know what? I got to say this today. Anything you got to pop off on?
I don't hold anything back.
I already shared my Julianne post.
Yeah, that was huge. Check.
That was huge. All right, fair.
This is, just so the listeners know, these guys already did 3 podcasts before this.
Wild.
And Ben still didn't get around to that story until this. You had to do the fourth one. You had to do that fourth podcast.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked. That was a genuine story.
I
finally got Time Daily cast in something. I'm totally happy. I'm ready. You know? So good.
She finally booked after all this time.
Yes, my good for time.
Someone discovered her.
Booked and blessed.
My belief paid off.
Well, if any of our stands aren't already listening and following you guys, which I think they are, where can they find you?
We're at watchwhatcrappens.com. Find all our links. We also do a Game of Thrones podcast now called Winter is Crappening, so you can subscribe to that. And then just find us on social, Instagram, Watch What Crappens, and Twitter, What Crappens, and then our names, Ronnie Karam and Ben Mandelker, for the personal accounts.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, Stan Sands, you already follow us at We Stand Social, we assume, or what are you doing? Otherwise, follow us. We'll be tagging these guys and everything so you can find them if you don't know already. Thank you guys so much. This is a dream.
Thank you. Good talking to you guys.
So bye. Good talking to you.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Bye. Sarah Michelle Gellar.